Afterwards, I am walking on air. So, will Big Bang give you as good a shag as Sound and Vision did? I ask Evelyn and Rick. Yeah, baby, says Evelyn. Pretty good, says Rick. A bit more predictable for me. My phone vibrates. Yay, says Jason down the line. That was just the fiercest. Was it fierce for you? I ask. For me, it was more slinky than fierce. Sure, I can see slinky in there too. Because this wasn't just fierce, this was fierce. And that means there's always going to be some slinky there somewhere, right from the get-go. Anyway, I gotta run now. Congratulate Aliyah and Rick from me. Mark says give him a call tomorrow as soon as you're both up. Okay, will do. Before long, the four of us are reclining on those deep purple leather-covered armchairs and sofa in Rick's and Evelyn's place, as Rick takes a drag from a joint and hands it on to Evelyn. Reminds me, he is saying. Only once did I ever try out for a part in a play. Fucking disaster. I was about 18. It was at this theatre in Glasgow where they normally did variety acts like Sweaty Albert and his performing dog or whoever, but this time it was a new play with lots of parts. Someone had called me in, but I never got their name, so when I got there and nobody knew who the fuck I was or what I was meant to be auditioning for, I couldn't say the name of anyone who actually wanted me to be there. It became a hilarious kind of non-event. Eventually, some prissy thespian guy with a face like a cantankerous ferret took pity and said, "Well, I suppose you may as well audition for something since you do seem to be here," about as enthusiastic as if he was going to get a tooth extracted. He had one of those half-assed moustaches, like he'd just sneezed in an ashtray. Sanctimonious little wanker. Real nuttable material. I wanted to headbang him just on sight, but I thought maybe that wouldn't help me with the audition, so I didn't. He gave me some long pages of script, and I sat on this scabby staircase and read them, and man, I know fuck all about the well-made play, but even I could tell this play was a sack of shit. Then the ferrety guy said, "Oh yes, by the way, you'll have to do your part in a French accent," which is an accent I've used for a total of about 10 seconds in my life, probably when I was 6 years old and drunk. Then he paired me up to read with some really mousy-looking girl that you could tell he just wanted to get rid of. One look at this girl, and you knew she was going to be terrible in the audition. So, she and I read it out loud once on the staircase, and she was worse than terrible. Even worse than my toolish French accent, which was painful in itself. Then it was our turn, so we go through a door, straight onto the stage under harsh spotlights. And this woman we're auditioning for, the director, is sitting way up at the back of the auditorium, high up on the bleachers, as far away as possible.
When you're ready, she says in this hoity-toity voice, like she'd had a lemon enema at birth. When you're ready.
So the two of us start the script, and the mousy girl was so quiet that even I could barely hear her, and I was standing next to her.
Could you speak up, please? Could you speak up?
Said the annoying lemon-up-the-ass woman, who was really starting to get on my tits.
I'm 30% deaf, you know, so you'll have to speak up. You'll have to speak up.
I sounded like a bad parody of Inspector Clouseau to begin with, and now I had to shout too. The joint has come back around the circle to Rick. Cheers, he murmurs, inspects it, and takes a long, cool drag. The candles flicker, the dubstep echoes and booms quietly onwards out of the speakers, and the entire warm, stoned attention of the room is upon him. Anyway, sometimes I glanced up from the script while the girl was whispering it and I was shouting it, and my eyes had now adjusted to the spotlights, so I could see that Sourpuss up there on the bleachers was smoking this ridiculous big cigar the whole time. He hands the joint on to Evelyn. The smoke was wreathing up all around her like the mushroom cloud of a bomb. Also, bizarrely, her hair hung right down across the front of her, so I couldn't see her face at all. That made me curious, so I kept sneaking peeks at her during this interminable dirge of a scene. And every time I looked, the more it seemed her hair hung thicker than ever and further down over her face, and boy, was that off-putting. So I started buggering up the script. So the mousy girl started giving me these distraught looks and sounded like she was about to burst into tears. But it was too late. I was hooked. I couldn't stop sneaking peeks at Sourpuss up there, and with every peek I became more certain. No two ways about it. Her hair was all the way down to her chin in a solid curtain, bushier than anyone's hair should be, even at the back of their head. And while I was reading, I was thinking, what a silly cow. What kind of doofus requests a haircut like that at the barber's? Yeah, I'll have it right down over my entire face, please. Extra thick and extra bushy, so I can't see anything. And long around the back, and maybe just casual at the sides, thank you. So, being 30% deaf, she'd chosen a nice seat about half a mile away from us,
trying to hear me through her bushy hair curtain, while I did a dire French accent that was regularly shading into Russian and Welsh and Indian and Norwegian in a play that was a chunk of sludge to begin with. There were still several dense pages of the script left. Why was she letting us go on so long? Why were we going on? Why were we here, in every sense of the question? Then I thought, maybe I should sneak up the bleachers without her hearing me, she certainly wouldn't see me, and then I could reach forward and part those curtains of hair without her expecting it, just to see what was behind. And I suddenly knew the awful truth, that if I did so, then I'd see the back of her head. And if I went round to the far side of her and parted the curtains there, then I'd also see the back of her head. And if I went to either side of her and parted the curtains, all I would ever see would be the back of her head, because she was all back of the head. Well, that did it for me. I stopped in mid-dirge. I put the script down, and I just headed back to the door. And right before I disappeared, I called up at Sourpuss, "Keep in touch!" And I was out of there.